to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
Hey, kids, look, a deer.
I guess wouldn't be any. Wouldn't be the Christmas shopping season if the stores were any less hooter than they are. Harder than they are.
Oh, the silent majesty of a winter's morn, the clean, cool chill of the holiday air, and an asshole in his bathrobe emptying a chemical toilet into my sewer.
Shitter was full!
And with all the other rich people, and I want him brought right here with a big ribbon on his head. And I want to look him straight in the eye, and I want to tell him what a cheap, lying, no-good, rotten, four-flushing, low-life, snake-licking, dirt-eating, inbred, overstuffed, ignorant, blood-sucking, dog-kissing, brainless, dickless, hopeless, heartless, fat-ass, bug-eyed, stiff-legged, spotty-lipped, worm-headed sack of monkey shit he is! Hallelujah! Holy shit!
Oh, Lap Traffic Nation, welcome to episode 105 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. Hope you guys enjoyed that little montage of clips there from my all-time favorite Christmas movie, Christmas Vacation. I mean, that is just a classic. I kid you not, I've probably watched Christmas Vacation probably 15 times already this year. Just one of those things like, you know, throw it on, getting ready for bed, whatever, you know, or background noise, wrapping gifts, whatever it may be. Christmas Vacation, all-time favorite. So I thought I'd play some clips there just because, like I said, it's my favorite. It's fantastic. I laugh every time I watch that. I can probably repeat that whole thing verbatim. A close second is definitely The Christmas Story. I know Lindsay absolutely can't stand that movie for whatever reason. I think it's fantastic. I've watched that a few times and followed third probably just because it's newer of those two is Elf. Top three favorite Christmas movies right there for me. Hope you guys like that. Anyways, let's see what's going on. Well, it is December, what is it, 18th. Well, actually, no. This is posted on December 18th. It is Thursday, December 13th that I'm throwing this together. Getting ready to go on with PETM here in a little bit. So I'll talk third person as if this is posted, and I've already done the show with PETM. I know it was awesome because it's always a great time with those guys. So make sure you go check out PETM 174 if you haven't done so already. This is going to be a best of show. It's going to be with the wonderful Jeff Striegel, who's been on a few times this year, and it's always been a lot of fun to talk to and all that good stuff, so I'll get to that here in just a minute. I am on the fence of what to do for shows these next 2 weeks, because a week from today that you guys are listening to this is Christmas, and the Tuesday after that is New Year's Day. So I'm sure everyone's going to be busy with family and all that good stuff. No sense in maybe stressing over getting a best of posted over those 2 weeks. So if I can, I will. We're going to be having... let's see, about 30 people at our house on December 25th. Got a 22-pound turkey, a 10-pound pork loin that I am going to stuff. It's funny, I stuff the pork loin. I don't stuff the turkey. All the good stuff, you know. It's going to be a little chaotic over here that week, as I'm sure it is for everyone else that hosts and all that. It's always a last-minute stress getting everything together. That said, I hope all of Lap Traffic Nation has an incredible holiday season and all that good stuff. So there may or may not be some best ofs posted over the next 2 weeks. I will kind of just see how it goes. I hate not to upload something. I like to keep the feed fresh for you guys. I don't want to fall to the wayside there in your, you know, the iTunes podcast thing or whatever, or however you guys get your podcast. So we'll see. Maybe I'll get one up there. Maybe somewhere in between, who knows? So there may be an absence over the next 2 weeks, maybe one, maybe two, who knows? But then definitely after the new year, we'll pick it back up with best ofs, get into it with the fantasy. And I can't believe it, like talking about the new year, January, and that means in February we get Daytona and Speed Weeks and all that good stuff. So it's right around the corner, and I feel like I got a ton of stuff to get ready for next year, which I do. I've got so much in the works, and I'm very excited about it. Can't wait to get it all together for next year, which is going to be so much fun. And I guess I've rambled on for 5 minutes here, so I should probably get on with the best of. So let's see here. Jeff Striegel was on twice last year, or this past year, as I mentioned. So I think I'll play the interview from the first time he was on episode 59 and save the second one for the next best of. So without further ado, Mr. Jeff Striegel. All right, Lap Traffic Nation. Joining me on the line, one of the voices from MRN Radio for the last 20 years. He's a fellow Michigander. He runs a Michigan nonprofit charity called Racing Awareness. Jeff Striegel. Jeff, welcome to the Lap Traffic Podcast.
It's good to be with you, Brandon. How are you?
I am excellent. Thank you so much for taking some time out tonight. I really appreciate it. How was your weekend?
My weekend was good. It's what I would call one of my last real weekends off of the year. I enjoyed watching the race and listening to the race like many of the fans have done. And now, you know, thanks to PRN, you know, we had the weekend off when they were in Atlanta. We had the weekend off this weekend when the teams were all out in Las Vegas. But that's going to wrap it up for us now because we start hitting it pretty hard. We head off to Phoenix, then California, then Martinsville. So I enjoyed it. Hopefully everybody else enjoyed what they saw on TV or listened to on the radio. Another Kevin Harvick victory.
Oh, you know, it's no surprise to Lap Traffic Nation. I am I'm a Kevin Harvick fan. So I was, I try to be objective on the show, and I think I do a pretty good job of that. But the followers know that I was definitely excited on Sunday.
Sure.
Yep. Jeff, tell everyone a little bit about yourself. Where you grew up, how you got into radio, and got into NASCAR?
Well, you know, that could be a long topic of conversation. The easiest part is I was born, raised, and still live in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I got my start in racing when I realized I couldn't afford to be a race car driver. So I got out of racing competitively in 1995. And I think a lot of your followers and your listeners are going to recognize Berlin Raceway here in Grand Rapids.
Oh, yes.
I started going there as a kid. My dad took me there, raced there for a while. And when I got out of racing, Brandon, it was kind of interesting because the longtime PA announcer there was just getting ready to retire. And I just simply asked him if I could, you know, sit in with him and work with him. And he welcomed me in, and I did it for a year, only to find out that, you know, the races at Berlin were being broadcast on the radio. And they kind of came to me and said, hey, would you like to do this rather than that? And I said, you know what? That sounds like it would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So now, at the time, I was already listening and was a fan of PRN and the Motor Racing Network. So what I tried to do was pattern our broadcast at Berlin like what I heard on Saturday nights and Sundays when, you know, the cup cars were on the track. I did that for a number of years. Sent an audition tape to the Motor Racing Network, never thinking I would even get a call back. I did. And in 1996, I went down to Daytona, auditioned down there, and got a phone call back and said, hey, how'd you like to come and do a truck race? And I guess that was the start.
That's really
cool.
First
race was at the Texas Motor Speedway doing a truck race. And like everything else, you just kind of progress and you know, you pay your dues and you move on and you move up. And here we are today.
That's awesome. Nothing like auditioning at the biggest stage of them all at Daytona. Eh? That had to be a little overwhelming, I would think.
Well, I'll tell you what, it was kind of funny because when I went down there, they told me at the time that I was going to be doing the Xfinity series, you know, what it is today, but I was going to be doing a practice session. So I spent my time trying to know everybody and learn everything that I could. Not, of course, that I was going to need it standing out there trying to do a turn.
Sure.
But it turned out that it was going to be, they changed it at the last second, and they said, you're going to go out and do the Goodies Dash series. I didn't know anybody. I didn't know a car. I didn't know a driver. I didn't know a pay scheme or a number. And so here I am standing out in turn one at Daytona, awestruck already.
Right.
And then, you know, at the time it was Eli Gold and Alan Bestwick in the booth, and they just dropped it in turn number one. And I was just like, okay, I don't know who any of these guys are, but I'm going to make it up and do the best job I can. And obviously I did a good enough job to at least get the call back.
You know, so you mentioned dropping it into the turn. Can you walk us through calling a race? Because you've got your guys, quote unquote, in the booth, but then it goes to each different turn. What's the process like to get on sync with everybody, and what's that like?
Yeah, that's, you know, we get that all the time. You know, if we go back and take a look at Daytona as an example, there's 11 broadcasters all on the microphone, all hot to the mic all the time. So at any given time, whether it be Tim Kuhn or Winston Kelly or Dave Moody, Rusty Wallace, anybody can talk. And we get the question, is there a light that goes off, or does somebody in your ear tell you to talk? And the answer to those questions is no. You know, you've got Joe Moore, Rusty Wallace, and I in the broadcast booth. At Daytona, you had Dave Moody, all names that your listeners are well aware of who these guys are.
Sure.
You know, with Moody in turn one, Mike Bagley at the end of the Superstars, Kyle Ricci in turn four, Winston Kelly, Alex Hayden, Steve Post, and Kim Coon all working on pit road and in the garage. And, you know, obviously the guys in the broadcast booth kind of direct the traffic. But, you know, if you watch the race and you're listening to us, you'll know that, you know, the booth is going to carry it to turn one, and through voice inflection or whatever, Dave knows when I'm going to drop it. And Mike Bagley knows when Dave is going to drop it. And Kyle knows when Mike Bagley is going to drop it. Now, the pit road guys have two-way communication back to our producer who is standing with us in the booth. So if Winston Kelly hears that, as an example, Jimmy Johnson is overheating, he can relay that to the booth. The booth can then tell us if we can go, okay, is there a problem with 48? Winston Kelly, what do they say?
That's
and
awesome.
He can say, yep, just got word that Jimmy Johnson may have an overheating issue. So, you know, that's kind of how it works. And you know, rarely do we step on each other or get in somebody's way. It just, you work with these guys. They're like my brothers and my sisters. I mean,
sure.
It is family. I spend more time with those guys than we do at home. And after you've done it long enough, you kind of get a pretty good rhythm down and you know, I guess, when I'm going to stop and somebody else is going to start. That's just kind of how it works.
Oh, that's cool. I really got goosebumps just kind of hearing the ins with that there. All right, so
it's fun.
You're the first radio broadcaster on the show. I've had a couple of the TV guys on. I don't know if you've called a race on TV before. You kind of talked about some of the differences with calling the race. Is there any other difference or different perspective that you have to take from the radio side versus the TV side, knowing you've got to paint a picture?
Well, that's a really good question. I did do a little bit of TV back when ASA, and you may remember this, Brandon, back when ASA was TNT or TNN, whatever it was.
Yep.
And I had the opportunity to do a couple of broadcasts with them, and it is a difference because what I'm talking about is being, you know, projected on TV. You know, you can point and explain where on the radio, somebody's driving down the road, they want you to paint that picture. What is it that we see? What is it that's going on? And hopefully we do that for the listener. I mean, that's something that I don't take lightly because I was a fan, I still am.
Sure.
And I want to know, you know, if I'm driving down the road, like this weekend, right? You know, I'm not sitting in front of the TV to watch the race in its entirety, so I've got to tune into PRN and hope that what they're saying, and they do a great job, you know, hope that what they're saying I can understand in my head. It's like, okay, I understand what's going on. I'm excited. I want to know more. And obviously, if we can do that well, people are going to stay tuned in, maybe bring a new fan to the sport. But it is different. And, you know, as soon as we go on the air, it's how do you paint a picture to tell somebody that's not there what it is that we're seeing?
Yeah, no, totally. You know, most of the time I'm sitting in the man cave here watching the race, and there are times I'll keep the TV volume up. There are times I've got my race view scanner on and I'm just literally listening to that, because most of the time, especially on Sundays, I'm live tweeting the race. I'm trying to engage the followers. There's another podcast, PETM podcast, and there's actually a podcast overseas, the MOATF, and we try to live tweet each other and I don't know, paint a picture on social media, because that might be giving it a little too much credit, but just trying to engage and bring people in from an excitement and an interactive perspective. One, to help bring some attention to the show and the race, just because of how big social media is. And yeah, you know, I got 2,500 followers. You know, you've got thousands or, you know, hundreds of thousands of people listening. So I can only imagine the pressure that could build in terms of trying to put what you know is in your mind out there in words so that people can formulate that.
Well, yeah, and I'll give you an example of something that Joe and I will say to each other probably more than what I can portray here, and that is the late, great Barney Hall. And what he used to tell us, and it's so true, is when somebody's listening to us on the radio, they want to know where their favorite driver's running, how many laps there are, you know, and that's, if you stay true to that,
yep,
you can't go wrong on radio.
Sure.
There are times when we could get too in-depth, we could get, you know, painting too much of a picture, get off on a tangent somehow. And I think that's when you start to lose a listener.
Yep.
They want to know who's winning, how many laps are left in the race, and what, you know, what is going to happen between the time that we're talking right now and the time that that checkered flag drops. Totally. And if you stay true to that on radio, you're probably doing a good job. And when you're talking about social media like what you do, and trust me, I follow some of the races on social media, just like through what you're doing. And that is, what lap is it? Who's leading? Who's out? You know, why are you not talking about Jimmy Johnson? I haven't heard Jimmy's name mentioned in, you know, 25 laps. Why are you not talking about him? Well, let's go back and revisit. Jimmy had this issue and he is running, you know, 3 laps down.
Sure.
Okay. Now that listener, that Jimmy Johnson fan, knows why. And back to the leader. Who is it? How many laps are left to go?
Nice. Like it. All right. So we're 3 races into a long season. Outside of some of the obvious ones, kind of just like you mentioned, the 48 or Harvick winning back-to-back, is there something that has surprised you thus far 3 races in?
I think what surprises me right now is how surprised everybody is after 3 races. It seems like, how's that?
I mean, I like that.
I'll just be honest.
Yep.
Everybody is surprised that the Fords are running well. You go back 1 year ago at this time of the season, the Fords were running very well. You know, surprised that Joey Logano is doing as well as he's done. 3 top tens in the first 3 races. Well, if you go back a year ago, Joey had, I believe it was 8 top 10 finishes in the first 9 races until we got to Richmond. We all understand that.
Yep.
Kevin Harvick winning 2 races. Does that really surprise anybody? It doesn't surprise me. Kevin Harvick is as good as anybody out there.
Sure.
The Chevy's not off to their best start. We can touch on that in a minute. That's a brand new car. It's going to take them some time to get that car figured out, get all the bugs worked out of it, and figure out how to put it in victory lane. That won't take that long.
I mean, a brand new car, that's got to be like a manufacturer change almost, right? I mean, even though you're not changing manufacturers, you got a brand new car.
Absolutely right. You know, everything that's underneath that Camaro body is the same thing that was underneath the SS a year ago, which is the same thing that's underneath the Ford and the same thing essentially that's underneath the Toyota. So until you start talking about, you know, steering components and rear ends and things like that, the biggest change is that body. And it's going to take some time for them to figure out what that body needs in order to win races. And it won't take them very long. But to your point, sure, it's just like making a manufacturer change. And it won't take them long. They're working on it now.
Oh, sure.
And then, you know, the other thing, too, would be, is it a surprise that we haven't seen... Sorry about the wind.
Oh, you're good.
is it a surprise that we haven't seen the Toyota win yet? Well, again, if we go back last year, how long did it take before anybody other than Martin Truex won a race? It took darn near half a season before we started talking about Kyle Busch and Denny Hamlin, other than why aren't they winning? So, you know, we're only three races in. We got a long way to go.
Yep.
Ford obviously is off to a great start. And so when you say, am I surprised? I think the only big surprise that I see right now is in Hendrick, in where those four cars are at this point. I did not expect to see them struggling as bad as they are for the reasons that we just talked about. They've got some work to do there. They know that, and they'll get to it, and they will get better. But, you know, only being three races in, I'm really not surprised at anything that I've seen thus far.
Yep. No, I'm with you. So there's one question that I like to ask, especially when it's a different, you know, role that's on the show in terms of their role in NASCAR. So I want your opinion. We all know the business side on why we have Cup guys racing truck and Xfinity. We get that. I understand that. But what's sure. Jeff's opinion on that? Are you in favor of, or are you against? Would you like to see it limited a little bit more? What's your take on Cup guys running the other series?
Well, I'm going to give you my answer, and I doubt that it's going to be the popular answer. I don't have a problem with it. I don't. Okay, so that's my opinion.
Sure.
I don't have a problem if Kyle Larson or Kyle Busch or anybody else, for that matter, wants to run in a truck race or in an Xfinity race. One very important thing is they help sell tickets.
Yep.
It's proven time and time again. I think that when we talk to their competitors, I've never heard one driver say, I wish Kyle Busch had not been in this race. I've never heard it.
You know, I've had Cole Custer on a couple times. He said that. I've had a couple Xfinity drivers on that have said, they may have rode around following a line just to learn the track from some of these guys. So, no, I'm with you 100% on that.
Well, and I think it comes back to this, and that is, if you're going to be the best, you have to beat the best. Now, I get the fact that Kyle Busch may be outspending somebody in the truck series. I got it. I get it.
Yep.
And that's unfortunate. But you know what? I just can't think of any other sport that has complete financial parity from top to bottom. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist in football, baseball, basketball. It doesn't exist anywhere.
Yeah.
And so you're always going to have a team. If you know, the thing that I always look at, Brandon, is if they're not complaining about getting beat by a Kyle Larson or a Kyle Busch or a Joey Logano, then they're going to be complaining about getting beat by Elliott Sadler, or they're going to get, you know,
Matt Crafton, Johnny Sauter.
Exactly, because those are the next top tier teams that would replace a Kyle Busch Motorsports if Kyle wasn't there. And you know, nobody wants to see a race, me included, where Kyle goes out and laps the field. Okay, that's no fun for anybody.
Right.
It's not even fun for him. But if he's not there, who's the second place guy? And 9 times out of 10, that second place guy's got the field covered anyway.
Sure.
So I definitely understand the idea of pulling for the underdog. And let's face it, when Kyle Busch is in the field, everybody else is an underdog. I get it.
Yep.
And we all want that underdog to, you know.
Hey, we had it last week at Atlanta when Brett Moffitt won. I mean, with Kyle Busch in the field, you know.
Absolutely. And Moffitt, I guarantee you, celebrated that win in a big way, knowing that he took down Kyle Busch and he took down the others that were the big guns, and nobody expected Brett Moffitt to pick up a win.
Nope.
And that's what makes it great, in
Absolutely.
My opinion.
Yep. All right, Jeff, but before we hit the races this weekend, why don't you tell everyone a little bit about your racing awareness charity that you help run?
Well, I'd be happy to. Thank you. There were some things that I learned over at Michigan International Speedway, and again, it's a long story. I'll spare you all the details, but the company that I worked for at the time, called Gordon Food Service, we were actually the title sponsor at Michigan for a number of years. It was the GFS Marketplace 400 for the Cup Series. And because of that entitlement sponsor, we were given opportunities to, of course, have tickets and hospitality opportunities. Well, on Friday, Brandon, as you well know, we don't always sell a lot of tickets, and you can't get a lot of people to come to a race on a Friday when you're not racing. All you're doing is practicing and qualifying. So we took the opportunity to bring kids in from the state of Michigan at either Mott's Children's Hospital over in the Detroit side, Make-A-Wish, or Helen DeVos Children's Hospital, which is located here in Grand Rapids. We realized very quickly that we had really stumbled on something that was pretty special. A diversion to the healthcare process, kids and their families coming to the races. So when GFS left the sport of NASCAR, I thought, could we possibly bring this same idea back home to Grand Rapids? We'll get ourselves a race car, we'll race, we'll raise money, and we'll involve families from the hospital and see if we can't make a difference. Well, we're beginning our ninth year. And to date, our little short track race team has raised $350,000.
Oh, that's awesome.
For the hospital. And you know what makes it so special is the fact that I don't think there's another short track team with a business model quite like ours. Today, we run two super late models at Berlin, along with a pavement modified. All of that is supported by phenomenal partners that we have that are solely invested in the race team. Then we also have a nonprofit 501c3 charity that has golf outings and fundraisers and race winnings that we donate. So all of that money goes towards them. Sometimes people will confuse it and think, okay, you're raising money to put tires on a race car.
Sure.
That's not what we do. It's quite the opposite. So people can check us out on Twitter at Racing Awareness, on Facebook, again, at Racing Awareness, or racingawareness.com on the web. And you can follow us and see what we're doing. And anytime somebody wants to come to Berlin Raceway, there's a pretty good chance that one of our cars will be on the racetrack.
That's awesome. You know what? I'm going to make sure. I'm going to put a link to that on the homepage of the website, too, just because that's awesome.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All right. So.
Yeah, we're always.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah,
no, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that we're always trying to bring followers onto Twitter. You know, we don't have a big Twitter following right now. And if you go to Racing Awareness on Twitter, we'd love to have you follow what we're doing. And I'll tell you what, there's some pretty cool stuff there. A.J. Allmendinger has come to Grand Rapids and run our car. Johnny Benson drove our car, our super late model, back in 2011. Mike Skinner has been up here and ran our car. You know, we like to run against Kyle Busch. I mean, there's your perfect example. We run against him, too. And, you know, there's going to be a day when we're going to beat him. We finished second to him once, and I like
so
it
cool.
when he or Chase Elliott or somebody like that is coming up and running in some of the big races that we have at Berlin. So it's a lot of fun. Hopefully people will check it out.
Awesome. Very cool.
Well, that was Mr. Jeff Striegel back from episode 59 this year on the Lap Traffic Podcast. Such a great interview. Awesome to listen to him call a race. So much fun. And had a blast, and looking forward to getting the other part of the, well, from episode 86 for the next best of there. And definitely looking forward to talking to Jeff next season. I know he will definitely be back on the show. Let's see. Let's hit some social media real quick. Everyone, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at LapTrafficPC. Don't forget about the giveaway. 3,500 followers on Twitter giving away the autographed 124 diecast of Richard Childress Racing, commemorating the RCR Museum. Got a Lap Traffic t-shirt, some extra goodies I'll throw in there as well. Everybody should have gotten their fantasy stuff. The prizes and the listener awards have gone out. So hopefully everyone's gotten those, with the exception of some overseas shipments, including the MOATF podcast, which I cannot wait for those guys to get that stuff. Oh, that's going to be so much fun. Everyone, I hope you have a fantastic holiday season, whatever it is you celebrate, and have a great new year. And like I said, who knows? Maybe I'll get one up here over the next 2 weeks. Maybe I'll get two. Maybe I won't get any. But you will definitely see something after the first of the new year. Worst case situation, don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!